Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from FPX Nickel, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol FPX, and on the OTC markets under the symbol FPOCF. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Martin Turin. Now, Martin, we have the first drill hole result from the Van target on that Dakar Nickel District project in central British Columbia. We've talked a lot about this Van target and how encouraged you were to start drilling that target a few months ago. And now this first hole has confirmed a new discovery. It's near surface mineralization, actually the eighth highest grading near surface interval at this Dakar project. Take us through, again, this Van target and now this first hole.
Yeah, Corey, nice to speak to you as always. So you're right, really big news for us with this initial program at Van. Just to put it in context, so we control 100% of the Dakar Nickel District in central BC. Within that, we have the Baptiste deposit, which is a very large nickel deposit on which we've completed a PEA. Baptiste is the third largest undeveloped nickel deposit in the world, and the PEA showed it can be a very low-cost producer. 6 kilometers north of Baptiste is this Van target, which has been identified and as a drill target on the basis of prospective surface sampling of outcrop. So that is bedrock coming to surface fairly consistently over an area that covers around 2.5 square kilometers, which rivals Baptiste in terms of the scale of the lateral extent of mineralization. These first two holes that we've just announced this week are the first two drill holes in the history of this Van target. So really probing in the subsurface to understand if we could add that third dimension into the sort of the two-dimensional surface sampling that we see at surface there. And yeah, to your point, Van hole one returned an intercept of over 100 meters of 0.15% magnetically recoverable nickel, which is about 25% higher grade than the average grade at Baptiste. It occurs near surface. And as you mentioned, It's one of the best holes we've ever encountered anywhere at Dakar. To put it in further context, it wasn't until we got to hole 38 at Baptiste in the history of drilling Baptiste that we saw near surface mineralization this high grade over this broad an interval. So to be able to accomplish that on the first hole in this sort of virgin target is something we're just super excited about.
So, Martin, as I mentioned, you were already very encouraged and excited about drilling this Van target. Now with these first two holes back, and I understand it was a 9-hole program, so you still have 7 more holes to release. But if those holes, let's say, come out even close to the first two holes, what does that mean for the focus of the company?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we know with Baptiste, we have a highly economic deposit there. We're moving that forward, doing all the fundamental work to prepare ourselves to ultimately launch into a pre-feasibility study, as well as starting to think about sort of environmental assessment work, et cetera. So that kind of that aspect of the company's strategy is intact. With Van, certainly we need to see what comes from the assay results, which we have yet to receive for the remaining 7 holes from this year's program. It's important to note that those holes were all very widely spaced, and so we can understand at least that what the beginnings of an ore body might look like if the assays support that. And ultimately, the thesis here has always been that based on the outcrop that we see at Van, that it could host a deposit that is either larger than Baptiste or higher grade than Baptiste. If it accomplishes one or both of those objectives, it would definitely highly likely impact our development plan on Dakar. If Van is a better or higher grade deposit than Baptiste, we might have to kind of revisit those development plans, and that would be sort of a nice problem to have, so to speak.
So what about in terms of the two locations of these first two holes that were released and then the 7 other drill holes? How do they all relate to each other?
Yeah, so holes 1 and 2 were drilled on section from each other, so about 350 meter spacing between the two of them, which is actually a little bit less than what is required to move this style of mineralization into the inferred category. So it is very disseminated, homogeneous distribution of mineralization. The remaining holes are basically cover in connection with holes 1 and 2, all 9 holes cover an area that's around 1 square kilometer or so. approximately 1 kilometer strike length by 1 kilometer width. And so that represents actually less than 50% of the target area at Van, but it's where we decided to start the program. As I said, we'll see what happens with those seven remaining holes. But what we're seeing already is certainly suggesting to us and getting our minds thinking to future field programs to really expand on what we think we've uncovered here.
Yeah, rightfully so. You have that success in the first couple drill holes. Well, we're still waiting for the other seven, but I do know and I assume, yes, you will be following up on these results. Any estimates in terms of time frame when you could see the remaining results here?
Yeah, we've said in the news release that those results will be released probably in the coming weeks. We've yet to receive the assays of holes 3 and 4, just as an example of where we are with the assay labs. So typically, we would expect to be in a position that by the early to mid part of November, we'd be in a position to report the next batch of assays and probably have all holes reported by kind of the end of November or early December.
Okay. Now, just one other quick comment on the size of this Van target. You've touched on it earlier, but when you look at figure one in that news release, we can see just how big the surface expression is for this Van target compared to the Baptiste target. What does that mean for the follow-up work then? Because it is such a large surface expression.
Yeah, it's relatively straightforward. Again, the fact that yes, we do have a large area to drill, but given the style of homogeneous mineralization that we see here, very kind of well disseminated mineralization, we can step out really, really wide and get some confidence that there's still going to be strong mineralization between any two holes. You know, if this year's program has targeted approximately a 1 square kilometer area and the entire target measures at least 2.5 square kilometers, it's not going to take that many more holes, you know, in future programs to cover off the extent of what we envision as the target area. The other thing I would mention is that the target area is constrained in large part simply by the availability of outcrop. So in those areas that are adjacent to the target that are covered by overburden, we haven't included that as part of the target area. But if we're seeing strong mineralization in the subsurface, you know, it could be suggestive that even areas that are covered by overburden are prospective for the style of mineralization in the subsurface, which means that the target could ultimately grow to be much larger than 2.5 square kilometers. So yeah, a lot of work ahead of us to understand what we have. But in terms of initial results and really confirming a new major nickel discovery, you know, we couldn't be happier with what we have so far.
Okay, absolutely. If anybody has any follow-up questions on this Van target, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. What about some of the drilling at the Target B and Sid target? Also some high-grade targets on this project, smaller in terms of surface expression, but also I know of interest during this drill program.
Yeah, so Van and Target B, we did a little bit of mapping work around those, but no drilling this year. Between those two targets in past years, there's been a total of 3 holes drilled between those two targets collectively over time. All 3 of those holes returned very long, strong intercepts of nickel mineralization with grades, again, well above the average grade at Baptiste. So it does suggest those could host either two distinct deposits or potentially deposits that are connected below surface. So again, lots of work to be done to better understand those deposits, but that'll be something to be undertaken really in future seasons.
All right, Martin, wrap us up then with what investors should be focused on here. And again, the big picture now with this new Van discovery, but still the development and advancement of the Baptiste deposit.
Well, I'm going to be pretty clear here and say that, you know, I think our valuation has tended to be driven by what is in the ground and what's been delineated at Baptiste. And on that basis alone, we're wildly, wildly undervalued. We traded a market cap around 100 million Canadian dollars. And Baptiste has a project NPV, you know, on a post-tax basis in excess of 2 billion Canadian. And so we're trading at a multiple of about a 0.05 to our project value. And, you know, companies at our stage of development are typically trading in the range of 0.15 to 0.2. So we think we're hugely undervalued on the basis of Baptiste alone. We've never really had any, I think, valuation attributed to us for the exploration potential elsewhere at the Descartes district. And so what we're seeing here with Van, I think, is a huge sort of catalyst for us and a huge milestone in showing that not only is Baptiste one of the largest nickel deposits in the world, in fact, the third largest, but between that and what we can hope to delineate at Van and some of the other targets, this could ultimately end up becoming the largest development stage nickel project anywhere in the world. And we know from their previous PEA, it's got the right cost profile and the right sort of ESG credentials that we're confident that we, as we continue to advance here, that ultimately this is something that will sit in the hands of a much larger company than ours.
So Martin, just one quick comment on the trading in the shares, because look, nickel has been performing quite well this year. It recently is right around some, well, recent highs over $9. However, the stock price of FPX Nickel has generally faded throughout this year. And even on the back of these good drill results, we saw the stock pop over 10% on that day. What do you think it's going to take to bring some more investors into the nickel space, especially with a company like FPX that has a de-risked asset?
I think this is a theme we've seen really across the base metal juniors for the most part, is that you've seen really strong base metal prices this year, but relative underperformance really almost across the board for base metal explorers and developers. And that's just, I think, kind of a structural issue in our market right now. And as you start to see more acquisitions and more major company interest in these types of companies, I think that will be one of the main catalysts to start to move share prices for companies like this up. Generally speaking, specific to us, we raised $16 million in April at 65 cents Canadian for a straight share with no warrant. And that's very helpful to us, obviously. It's given us funding to bring us right through into kind of mid-2023 or so. So that's excellent to have that treasury. The flip side, as we're finding of these institutional fundraisings, is that the portfolio managers that deploy capital into these offerings oftentimes are as impatient and as short-sighted as any kind of retail day trader. And so they're, what we found is some of the names that got into this in that financing have been pretty short-sighted in their view. They haven't really let the story kind of unfold. We've been delivering on all the news that we promised that we would deliver on. We have this great discovery, but for whatever reason, there's been a thesis change around one or two of these institutions that participated. And to me, in the short term, that presents a great opportunity for, you know, retail shareholders to buy in at a valuation that is, you know, 30% lower than where that financing was done, into a company that has a new discovery and a long runway of cash to deliver a lot more value and a lot more catalysts over the next, you know, kind of 2 years or so.
All right, Martin, really appreciate the update here. Again, if you have any follow-up questions for anything going on at FPX Nickel, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will get Martin to answer those. We also will be following up on the back of especially some more drill results. Martin, thanks as always for your time, buddy. Keep us up to date on future news.
Thanks very much, Corey.